patrolling the sidelines on game days and beating the pros inside the lines on off days. A 5'10 guard from Elon University. It's Bally Sports Wisconsin Zora Stevenson on Homer and Tony.
Even when Aaron Rodgers says he's coming back to the Green Bay Packers, that's not big enough to take Zora away from her time on this show, even with the Hall of Famer Tony Smith on assignment. Good afternoon, Zora.
Hello. I appreciate that introduction. And that does mean a lot. I was expecting the text, like, hey, we don't need you today. But here I am.
No. You know why that is?
Why?
Because the Milwaukee Bucks are world champions.
They are.
That's
what do you
right.
want to talk and about?
I'm still enjoying it. Well, what do I want to start with every week?
Brooke Lopez update.
All right.
So we're on the road right now, and it's a quick one-game trip, and then they've got a game tomorrow. So not much happening in that world right now. But, of course, the biggest update over the past week or so is that Brooke is cleared for some pickup games, which means he can play 5-on-5, which is a big step. And Coach Bud said, you know, maybe even some of the G League players would come down to Milwaukee to help facilitate that, make sure the team has enough numbers. So there's progress being made.
Do you get any idea of where he is, or if Brooke says, Zora, come over here, I'll be 100% in 4 weeks. I'll be 100%. I'll be 50%. And go ahead and tell Homer and Tony when you're on their show. Because everybody worries about me. But I think they worry, mostly Homer, worries about me even more.
Right.
Do I got to go to the G League?
No, he's not going to the G League. He's not going to the G League. And I know that because there may be updates that, like, Brooke has been assigned. It's just sometimes you have to do that in order for the G League players to play pickup against you. So I do think that is important to know.
Can you give us an idea on his mood?
Well, I know it has been a long road for Brooke. He's a human being, and I know he's a chipper guy, but like he hasn't necessarily watched a ton of games because, you know, when you can't play in them, that's not the most fun thing to do when you know you have the capability to play in an NBA game and you're sidelined with an injury. So it's been a process. Obviously, back surgery is no easy thing. But he's working his way back, which is a great thing. And the guys, you know, around the team are happy that, you know, he's bugging them again and, you know, comes with his jokes. And yeah, people are always excited to have Brooke around.
How do you think Serge Ibaka has played based on what you thought, or is it too early? Is he still getting used to the Bucks system? What's an appropriate assessment of Serge Ibaka to this point? Like it's been, like, 8 games or something?
For sure. Yeah, I actually just talked to him today about this, and he said he's still trying to figure out the Bucks' offense. And I think when you're a role player, that can be time-consuming just because there's three ball-dominant guys in Chris, Giannis, and Drew. And it's obviously a championship team. So you come in, and you're like, where do I fit? Do I fit? And especially with the Bucks, so many times when they make these moves trade-wise, it's for defense. And so Serge told me today, like, when I get in the game, like, I have to remember my job, and that's to play defense. And if the offense comes, then great. So he's focused on the defensive end, but obviously he was, you know, pleased with the fact that I believe it was 14 points, 10 rebounds against the Suns on Sunday. And he was like, that was a game where I got some extra touches. And, you know, it's always nice to score, but he remembers what his job is, and that is to go in there and play defense. He also said the coaches want him to, you know, help, like, move the basketball and set other guys up offensively, but it's mostly defense.
And does he feel like he's there, or is that, I need more time to do this more quickly, or defensively, if that is, and I certainly would agree, it's the most important thing, does he think, or do people think about that defensively? Do they just assume they can play a certain way versus offense where you have a system and stuff?
Well, the Bucks have a system defensively. But he didn't necessarily right. bring that up as part of his transition. It's and actually interesting because when a lot of guys come to the Bucks, they say, oh, offense, like, you know, they kind of just play basketball and play random, whereas defense is harder for some guys, especially the bigs, because the Bucks historically play this drop defense. But what's been interesting about this season with Brook out is they've transitioned a lot more to whoever the guy is on the floor. So, for example, and when I say drop defense, like, that's in pick and rolls and the big guy kind of stays back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And they've encouraged Bobby Portis to go up because that's where he's better. And so they're really switching, you know, what they do on ball defense in those pick and rolls from the big's perspective. And so, yeah, Serge didn't bring it up as like a, you know, point of transition, so to speak. He talked more about finding his way offensively. So it seems like defense is going the way he wants it to.
Do they want him to do what they're asking Portis to do?
I have not heard that. And I actually, you know, I'll keep an eye on it today and this week and ask me next week. But I don't believe Serge is like hedging and meeting the basketball like Bobby is. I think he's playing more like Giannis, who plays more of that like drop defense. You have to remember, like, Serge was number one in the league in blocks at one point, and so he has the ability to be a rim protector, whereas that's not Bobby's strong suit.
Talking with Zora Stevenson, even on the day in which Aaron Rodgers says, yep, I'm coming back to the Green Bay Packers this year. I always want to ask when I can about Chris Middleton, because I don't know that anybody is going to think he's as good as he is, and I don't know how you when you put up 44, then you have to think, geez, how much could this guy score if he was the man instead of being the second man? So whatever you want to say about Chris Middleton, because it's assumed appropriately that he's in a position that we just don't talk about him as much as he might deserve, because that is life with Giannis.
Yeah, I think the Bucks system is set up in a great way where you have this 1-2-3 punch, and Chris is the two out of that three, and he has the ability to close basketball games. He's shown that time and time again. And then Chris has this zone. He's had games, you know, obviously his, you know, a big game, I think it was 51 is his career high. But 44 is right there next to it, what he put up on Sunday. And so when Chris is in his zone, and he says, like, usually he can feel it, like, first, second quarter when he, you know, puts up a shot that's a little off balance and it goes in, he's like, oh, yeah, it's going to be one of those nights. So you couple that with the clutchness of Chris and his ability to knock down shots down the stretch, it's like, oh, then you just get this, you know, combination of 44 points. So, yeah, Chris Middleton's great. I can't say enough amazing things about Chris Middleton, both as a player and as a person, and he really is, like, aside from what he does on the floor, he really is the leader of this team. Like, when Chris Middleton talks, you listen. He's got the utmost respect from his teammates.
Well, I'm not arguing with you. You just said Chris Middleton is the leader of this team. Did I hear that right?
Yeah.
Okay, explain, because, come on. Giannis is the best player on the team, and as Coach told me, every team takes on the character of the best player, and I understand that can be different of leader of the team. I just kind of thought Giannis was the leader of the team, too, and I've been told that I'm wrong, which is okay. Well, explain.
For sure. Yeah, well, first off, like, a team can have multiple leaders, just like you can have multiple captains, but yeah, I would say in terms of just like if you watch the huddles, if you watch, you know, who's getting everybody organized on the floor, that's Chris Middleton, especially, like, sometimes, you know, like, defense, like, Chris is constantly talking. He's like, hey, you're supposed to be there. You're supposed to be there. He's, like, the floor general in a way, and I know that's usually the point guard, and Drew is definitely the floor general, but if you had, like, a conductor, it would be Chris Middleton. So, yeah, Giannis is the best player. Like, what? We're not even having a conversation about that. And yes, like, this team has taken on the persona of Giannis, which is, like, grinded out, hard worker, grateful, genuine human being. At the same time, you've got a guy in Chris Middleton who the guys on the team respect as well. So many of, like, the younger guys, like, Chris is who they consider their vet and who they go to for advice. Like, Jordan Wara, you know, sit down and watch film with Chris Middleton. Like, Chris has taken time out to make sure that, like, Jordan knows what's going on and stuff like that. And you've had multiple guys that'll just bring up the leadership of Chris Middleton. If you watch some of the huddles and the mannerisms, yeah, he is very much so a leader on this team. And the reason why I said when Chris talks, you listen, because Chris doesn't just talk to hear himself speak. Chris's words are poignant and short and to the point, and you respect him for it.
So in terms of talking, where do they rank Giannis, Middleton, or Chris, or Giannis? I just do his first name. I'm trying to get everybody to follow that.
Giannis,
clearly
Chris.
No one listens. Giannis, Middleton, and Holiday. Well, who's ranking in terms of talkative?
Who's most vocal? Like, who talks the most?
Yeah, just talk.
I think it depends on the situation, but just from observations, and I'm just talking solely in the game, Chris is talking to the guys the most, like to his teammates the most, and making sure everybody else is where they need to be. But locker room-wise, like all those guys are all talking all the time, and obviously all three of them are considered, you know, people that, you know, the players look up to.
In acquiring some of these new players, I've basically said it doesn't matter. And people are like, well, that's just not fair. You're just mean to them. But of any of the new players that have been around for five games, I guess Carter and
Bembry. Yeah.
Anything that they deserve that I'm not going to mention that you will?
Yeah, defense. I think the fact that Javon Carter has been in games late, I'm specifically going back to Chicago on Friday, speaks volumes about who he is as a player. I mean, we all know Coach Bud, like if you're in the game late, that means Coach trusts you. And so to be an addition late to this group, a group that already has its core intact, and you're getting key minutes when Giannis, Chris, Andrew are all available, that means a lot. So both of them are definitely on the floor for defensive purposes. But I've seen Javon Carter hit some, you know, off the dribble three-pointers, and I'm like, okay, you know. So both of them have had bright spots in their short time here in Milwaukee so far. Now the real test will be, what are the rotations going to look like come playoff time? And remember, like we're talking about Javon Carter getting significant minutes down the stretch, but George Hill's not available, Pat Connaughton's not available. That makes a difference.
But I've said this about players, but aside from the stars, it always starts with defense, and probably even more so. Man, Wesley Matthews is always going to get time when they need defense because they can count on him for that. And to me, that's what younger players or backup players, I've always thought, maybe on every team, I don't know every team that well, but that's how you get playing time, when the coaches can be confident in your ability to defend, especially if it's multiple positions.
Defense and knocking down open shots. I think being able to knock down open shots and having the ability to be a threat is super important. Because, obviously defense is, you know, top priority for the Bucks and for so many teams in the league, and it'll get you on the floor. But you really want to be there in the game crunch time. If you can knock down some open threes, that, like, puts you over the top. Because then, you know, I mean, the whole point is to spread the floor so that Giannis has room to work. So you don't want to be the guy that your defender is helping off and helping double,
great
triple,
point,
quadruple team the big guy. Yeah, so if you're a threat from the outside, that helps as well.
It may not be as important with other teams, but, yeah, it has to be huge for the Bucks because that's what teams are going to do. And then you become almost a liability offensively because you're going to get those shots and you just got to make a fair share of them. All right. And lastly, Zora, it is a state law that even though you are covering the Bucks, I am required to ask you if you have any opinion about Aaron Rodgers announcing today that he's coming back. And of course he is a part owner of the Bucks, but a very soft one and weak one and fragile one who was not around for the NBA championship. And, it's very disappointing, but that's for another time.
I think he was going through some things at the time, right? His future in Green Bay at that time was, so that might have taken some attention away from what was going on. So I slightly understand that decision not to be around.
I look forward to a future interview, and I think one will happen, between Zora and Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, that would be fun. And yeah, I got to get the pulse on how people are feeling that Aaron's back. What, like, give me a quick summary.
I think everybody's happy. There's, in general, there are some people that, but Seattle made a big move in getting rid of Russell Wilson to Denver for a ton of players.
Denver.
The Packers maybe could have done that. So we're going to be watching Seattle all season long to see how they do moving on from the quarterback versus the Packers keeping Aaron Rodgers. So, but I want to know what you think. You happy? Does it even get your attention? Are you a focus? I got to focus on my team. What's going on? And
well, I'm always focused on the Bucks, but obviously I know that it happened and that it mm-hmm. solidified that he's going to be back. I honestly thought there'd be a little bit more drama, you know? Like, this was relatively, I know it doesn't feel quick when you're in the thick of it, but from somebody outside looking in, I was like, oh, okay. That was
He did. He said it. Said it would be. He would decide soon. And in his defense, he did. Though maybe it wasn't quite as soon as other people wanted. But I would agree with you. I think it was early. All right, Zora. Thanks. You can say I was on the show the day that Aaron Rodgers said he's coming back to Green Bay. That's how big I am. Or you can put it any other way you want. Thanks, Zora. All right. The Hall of Famer Tony Smith, not here. He's on assignment, traveling to New York City. I'll join them late tomorrow night. I couldn't miss a chance to talk for 3 hours about Aaron Rodgers, other than when Zora's on. 1-800-990-3776. Now you can talk about the Packers, about Aaron Rodgers, about Seattle trading Russell Wilson, about what they got from Denver, and what the Packers, I will always believe, could have gotten for Aaron Rodgers had they decided to move on from their Hall of Fame star quarterback. That's all next.